Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing.
And this is Karen Rausch. I'm the Clinical Managing Editor.
And we're here to present the highlights to our October issue. Karen, why don't you talk about the cover, since you did find these remarkable photos?
Okay, so we have a beautiful cover photo that is part of a photo essay done by Lindsay Morris, and it's really a compelling photo essay of children, gender nonconforming children at a camp, an annual weekend camp where these children can freely express themselves alongside their parents and siblings. And on the cover is a photo of one of the young boys at the camp. And the boy wears a long dress, and he simulates having long hair by draping a tea towel over his head. At the camp, the kids can don wigs, high heels, makeup, and tiaras without the fear of being bullied or discriminated against. And we have the cover photo as well as a photo with the AJN reports this month, which is on the same topic. And the photos really are compelling because it shows that the joy these children have when they have the opportunity to really truly be themselves. The number of children who identify as transgender is difficult to estimate, but it's known that these children face significant health and social risks. According to the 2011 National School Climate Survey, 64% of middle and high school students identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, report being harassed in the previous year because of their gender expression. The National Association of School Nurses has issued a position statement recommending that school nurses propose school policies to ensure the safety of these students, help them understand their particular health risk, and provide care that meets their needs. So to read more about this policy and about how nurses can help transgender children and teens, check out the AJN reports this month.
And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our first CE article, which is Decreasing Patient Agitation Using Individualized Therapeutic Activities. And this is an article written by a group of nurses from Hartford Hospital. Christine Wozinski is the lead author. I did have a chance to talk with both Christine Wozinski and a co-author, Patricia Verano, and you can listen to a podcast on that. But this is a great example of a nurse-led quality improvement project where nurses saw a need and just went and did this low-cost intervention. Basically, they had sitters who were doing continuing observation of patients who were cognitively impaired either through delirium or other medical conditions. And these are the patients that used to be tied down. And oftentimes restraints would just make them more agitated. And sometimes just having sitters made them more agitated, especially if they had a little bit of paranoia. So what the nurses at Hartford Hospital did was, instead of having the sitters passively just watching these patients to make sure they didn't try and get out of bed or get themselves in trouble, was to have the sitters actually engage them in a individual activity based on the person's hobbies and their past preferences for activities and jobs, etc. And these were things like puzzles and games and checkers or reading, those kinds of things. And they did see a marked decrease in the patient's agitation. And they're doing some follow-up work, which I'm hoping they'll bring to us, to see if the overall use of sitters is actually decreasing as nurses are becoming more aware of these activities and employing them themselves, and therefore eliminating the need for sitters in some cases. So it's a really nice description of something that any hospital could really institute. So we're very happy that they published it with us. And listen to the podcast if you can. It also provides a little bit more background information. Karen, do you want to talk about the CE on VAP pneumonia or preventing VAP pneumonia?
One of the ways to prevent VAP pneumonia is actually a very simple one, and that is to provide good mouth care. And it's something that sometimes nurses may think, oh, it's just mouth care. But when it comes to VAP pneumonia, mouth care is very important. And VAP pneumonia is one of the most common hospital-acquired infections and a leading cause of death in ICUs. So whatever we can do to prevent that. helps. The authors of this article discuss the pathophysiology of VAP and why oral care is important to its prevention. And they provide a good evidence-based guide to providing optimal oral care for intubated patients. Another article we have this month on a very different topic is bed bugs, what nurses need to know. And I know living here in New York, bed bugs aren't far from being on people's minds all the time. And you don't have to be living in urban areas to be thinking about them because they seem to be everywhere nowadays. You can get them in hotels. Some of the best hotels have had problems with them, movie theaters, clothing stores. So this article is a good overview of bed bugs and, you know, what you can do to treat it. So 70% of U.S. pest control professionals reported an increase in bed bug infestations in a 2013 survey. So this article describes how nurses can diagnose and treat bed bug bites and provides education to patients on preventing bed bug infestations.
Now that I'm itchy after listening to that, one thing about the CE article on VAP pneumonia, we do have a podcast. I spoke with the lead author on that, Stasia Buka, and she was delightful and talked about how she came to write the article, which was a three-year odyssey that began with a student paper from one of her ICU rotations, and with the encouragement of an instructor that she met in her master's program. She continued to work on the article over the course of a couple of years. So it's a nice story of persistence. Other articles that we have this month, we have one on increasing patient satisfaction. The title is Nursing Staff Innovations Result in Improved Patient Satisfaction. And anybody working in hospitals these days knows about HCAHPS scores and how important it is for people to be thinking about patient satisfaction. But not so much the score, but just what is the patient's experience? That's really what the goal is to give patients a good experience as they go through their hospital experience. And of course, this experience has to be measured and reported. So this particular article describes how nurses at this one facility implemented and tested a variety of different care practices that did result in improving the patient's experiences. So those of you who are involved in this kind of initiative at your hospitals, I would suggest you read this and see how they did it, because they did get some measurable improvements, and they even had a few setbacks that they dealt with. So it's an article about doing this in the real world. There's also an article in our iNurse column, and it's Podcast for the Uninitiated. Now, those of you who are already listening to this probably don't need to read the article, but it does go into a little bit more detail. I learned a few things about podcasts and how you can get RSS feeds and notified about podcasts, etc. So if you are into podcasts, you may want to read this and see how you can get automatic notices. And of course, we have other articles in AGN as well. We have our news section. The article in our AGN reports that Karen mentioned that looks at helping transgender children and teens. We also have Drug Watch. We have an Evidence for Excellence column on opioid-induced neurotoxicity, and this is a very good article that will help you recognize this in patients. We do have something from not necessarily from our archive, but an archival type article in our Looking Back column. And it's about Harriet Patience Dame and the woman known as Mother Bickerdyke. And the article is What Price Glory is the title of it. And it's really very interesting because Mother Bickerdyke was this rebel and kind of a staunch, she would be a union person, I think, today, who fought gallantly and did have some wins in getting compensation and health care for nurses who worked on the battlefields. And she was an early advocate of paying women on a fair basis and paying them at the same standard as the men were being paid. So it's an interesting article, and with some photos of the statue that was erected in her honor. And of course, we have our Reflections in Art of Nursing. I hope you'll look at this month's AJN, either in print, online, or on the iPad, and also check out our blog, AJN Off the Charts, on WordPress, and we're now on Pinterest, as well as Twitter and Facebook. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next month.